everybody. Welcome to Tennis Summit 2019. It's really an honor and a pleasure to have Emma Doyle with us on the summit. She has been on the past summits as well and is definitely has been a fan favorite. And I think I really enjoy her presentation today, which will help us better communicate in doubles. And also, she'll show you some really fantastic strategies that will enable you to be more successful on the court. So Emma, she is a very established and world-renowned coach. She's actually given TED Talks as well, and she has developed both professional and amateur players, tennis players. And so she is just an amazing person as well, has a great personality, and I'm really excited to have Emma on. So Emma, huge thanks and welcome to the summit.
No, thank you so much. It's great to be back here. Hat trick, I believe, my third year in a row. And, you know, I really, really appreciate it. I love what you're doing. I love what you're all about, you know, impacting one to many, and that's what I'm all about. So it's absolutely fantastic to bring winning doubles the Aussie way, and it's really about how to maximize your strengths and how do you expose the weaknesses within your opponents. So so thanks so much for having me. And, of course, building on the last two from last year, as you know, I'm all about communication. So, you know, last year we did, you know, the one around building court confidence, and I absolutely love bringing just simple game plans and how to understand the brain a little better to keep yourself in that mode. And then the year before, problem solving, it's a problem solving game. So this year, again, along that same theme, there'll always be communication laid within my presentation. So thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime, Emma. I really do appreciate it. And I'm really excited too about this session because I've been playing a lot of doubles lately and I'm always looking to improve my doubles game and communication. And I've always been a singles right. player at heart. So I'm still learning, still figuring out, you know, what strategies to employ. And as you'll talk about, I mean, making some adjustments like these can really catapult your ranking and results. So again, really happy to have you on to talk about this specific topic.
Yeah, thanks. And also, of course, you know, the Woodies, I grew up with the Woodies, you know, arguably one of the best doubles teams in the world. And certainly I remember Todd Woodbridge always saying that he used to play a lot of singles so that he could see spots in the court on the doubles court that really helped his doubles. And of course they went on to win, I believe, 11 Grand Slams. And that was certainly when I was growing up. And I also played a lot of doubles in my junior career with older people. So I think learning from, you know, from role models and people that, you know, how you can short circuit their knowledge to impact it into your own coaching toolkit and bring out your own inner coach is what I'm all about. So should we get started?
Yes, ma'am. Let's definitely get started and excited to see what you have for us.
Great. So I'll share my screen with you. So let's get started. Winning doubles the Aussie way. As I just mentioned, it's all about how to maximize your strengths and how do you expose your opponent's weaknesses. So that's what we'll be talking about. And just a quick overview so we all know where we're heading. So we're going to start with something that I like to call the hotspot communication. So what do we say to our partner when we meet in the center of the court? So I'll go over that. The Australian formation, I just want to really clarify why we use it, how we use it, the benefits, and just what an amazing tactic it is. And then this is actually Aussie in reverse, lob split the court. Really excited to bring you this tactic, which not a lot of people know about. So that advantages the returning team. And then finally, this, of course, is on an online program that Jeff Solzenstein and I created called Aussie Doubles. So I'll share with you what we created, which will dive deeper for those wanting more information on what I spoke about, and then how you can get in touch with me. So let's get going. So the first video that I want to start with here is actually just explaining what the hotspot is. So if you can see my cursor and you can see Jeff and I, we're actually standing in the hotspot. Now, this is what I mean by the hotspot. So in other words, as you imagine, a lot of players, when they play doubles, they just walk like, you know, the returning team just goes like side to side like this. And or when they're serving, they're just walking across the net. So my theory is if you can imagine the letter X, so the returning team are kind of meeting in the middle each time to make the plan, and the serving team are meeting in the middle to make the plan, if that makes sense. So really, it's something where we actually need to remember to bring the teams together. And that is really critical, because otherwise you look like two singles players on the court. So let's jump straight into this video as a practical example. You hear me explain it on Court with Jeff on what you actually might say to your partner. So it looks like this.
As you know, Emma, communication is the name of the game, and making sure you have the right communication inside the hotspot is absolutely critical to success. Take it away, Emma.
Yeah, so what is important here is that we get really used to some really short, sharp, kind of quick things to say in hotspot. So, for example, if I'm serving and you're my partner, obviously, again, I've got my back to our opponents, I'm simply going to either choose wide body or tee. So notice, first of all, I'm not saying I'm aiming for her backhand, and I'm also not using the word middle. A lot of people get confused with the word middle. So I say wide body tee. Now, your options is cross 50%, 100%, or fake.
Right.
All right?
So just to be clear, again, these are trigger words. This isn't I'm just going to get the serve in, I'm just going to hit it to their backhand, like Emma said. It is one word.
One word.
Wide body tee. And then for me, when Emma said 50%, that essentially means pinch the middle. So take the middle away. And her term is 50%, which I absolutely love. So let's do that.
Yeah. Okay. So T?
50%.
Let's go. We can do it.
Okay.
Okay. So that's an example for the serving team. So now the returning team in the hotspot, what's really important here, I'm going to be returning first on the juice court. So my options here are going to be cross court, down the line, lob, usually down the line, doesn't have to be, or of course I could chip and charge or let you know that I'm going to return and come in. Okay?
What are my options?
So your options as my partner, now once you know, that's critical as well. Once you know what I'm going to do, mm-hmm. you could just be 50%, mm-hmm. okay, or you're going to poach 100% off my return, and I know that.
Right.
Okay, so pretty simple.
Okay.
All right, so let's give a live example. So I'm going to return cross court.
Okay, I'm just going to hold my ground.
Yeah, or 50%.
50%.
Okay, so even rather than me even saying I'm going to hit cross court, the better way to say that is actually cross court.
Right, 50%.
Let's go. We can do this.
So you can see in the video there that what we were trying to do is come up with trigger words and really short, sharp, simple things that you can say to your partner within the spot. And then depending on your personality, which I'll touch on in a moment, depends on whether you might do a bit of a kinesthetic, you know, low five or a high five, just depending on what's going to work best for your team. But no more than 5 seconds. So a short, sharp little tick in the hotspot. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally makes a lot of sense.
Great. So now let's move on to some other really useful communication tips within the hotspot, and perhaps some of the common problems that I'm sure we've all made. So let's take this first one, for example. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Every time you make an unforced error, the ball goes past. Yeah, you do it all the time. Okay, not anymore. So instead, you're better off saying to your partner, especially outside of the court, just before you go into the court, and especially working with a lot of ladies teams as well, do this very, very frequently. I always, you know, say something like to my partner, hey, listen, I'm probably going to miss a lot of balls today. You know, I'm really sorry. I'm going to get all my sorries out of the way now. Of course, I don't mean to make unforced errors. So, you know, I apologize. And then hopefully your partner will do the same. Look, I'm probably going to do the same. So let's get focused on what we need to do better rather than spending time in the hotspot apologizing, because that's, you know, a waste of time. Mm-hmm. So if you do say it, just catch yourself quite quickly and say, listen, you know, yes, you know that I'm sorry, of course, you know, as a partner. The other one you hear that I just spoke about on the video there, I'll try to hit the ball cross court. Just say cross court. And here's the thing that I love, Mobun. If it doesn't go there, it doesn't matter. Okay, great little blanket statement. So you just have that in the back of your knowledge. If it doesn't go there, it absolutely doesn't matter. But as long as I have the intention. The next one, try and avoid, you know, I will aim my serve wide, but it doesn't usually go there. Mm. So it's kind of like saying to your partner, you know, look, I want to serve wide, but you know what, my wide serve sucks. Or, you know, something along those lines. Instead, it's like wide, or it's body, or it's tee. The other one that you want to avoid, of course, is actually, if I'll just shift our video up that way, taking the emotion, we want to take the emotion out of it. So rather than thinking, I want to try and serve to that woman's backhand, okay, we're then getting in the emotion of her backhand, okay, and the emotion of her. Remember, play the ball on its merit. Wherever you can, when you call the score, when you're talking tactically, if you can use other cue words, like, for example, blue shoes or white shoes, I'm going to serve to white shoes. You know, she's been struggling in that backhand. So when you're in the hot spot, all you need to say is wide. And all your partner needs to say is 50, 100, or fake. That's it. And then we can do it, or let's go, or any of these useful communication tips. So what have we got here? We language. So let's say, for example, you and I are playing mixed doubles, and I haven't missed a ball, and let's say that you might have missed, made a number of errors in a row. We can do it. It's not, come on, you've got, you know, rather than we language, we can do this. Come on. So it's almost like you're building that momentum for your partner to come along with you. Let's go. Let's be ready. And I love this one. This is what somebody that I used to play with said to me all the time. Tough point right here, right now. And it just brings you again back into that central focus, which is really important, especially when you meet in the hotspot. Make sure you share with your partner. My strengths are, okay, especially when I was playing my little flipper forehand on that deuce court and the lob down the line certainly were two of my massive strengths. My areas for development were deep backhands. So therefore, wherever possible, if she had an opportunity to poach that ball down the middle on her forehand volley on the deuce court when I was playing deuce side, I said, you take it, because I don't want to be caught with that off backhand, because that's my area for development. Notice it's not a weakness. Talk about weaknesses as they relate to your opponents, but talk about areas for development within your own game. And, you know, just as a blanket rule, you know, somebody with the stronger ground strokes might play, if my forehand is my stronger ground stroke, I might play the deuce court, and backhand stronger ground stroke, they might play the ag court for the ground strokes on the outside wings, and then the volleys, what's their best volley on the inside wings? Hopefully that's clear. We go over that again in the winning doubles awesome. online course. Before the match, I prepare best by, you know, do I want to chat about the weekend before the match, or do I want to actually get a little bit focused on who are we playing today and what do we need to be focused on? Or do I want to listen to music, or do I want to talk about social things? And then after the match, do I like to talk about what happened immediately? Do I like to talk about, hey, give me a buzz that afternoon, or next time we're at the practice, can we go over what we did well? What specifically do we need to do better, and what did we learn? And finally, does humor relax you, or does humor just throw you off your game? So if you know, it's almost like having a blueprint about who your actual partner is. And, of course, playing styles. So if we talk about playing styles here, again, there's a great YouTube clip from Tennis Congress that I created that'll go into a lot more depth. So there's the link there about the playing styles. But these are personality playing styles. And essentially what the message is here, that the better you understand who your partner is, again, then you're going to know what to say, when to say, and how to say it. So the four styles are, so we've got the consistent player. Now, I'm just going to give a quick tip again. If you want more detailed information, there's a link there, free link there on YouTube. So this one here, the Caroline Wozniacki, very open, more indirect. They're very well liked, and you need to show that you care. You need to validate their opinion, and also just avoid too much detail. But they're generally got this type of personality will go along with any sort of plan that you know you sort of create. Then we've got the crowd pleaser. So the Bernard Tomic style, very flamboyant, creative. So with this type of personality, a couple of quick tips, get excited with them. They'll probably want the high five or the fist pump in the hotspot. Socialize with them, be patient with digressions. Then we've got more of, you know, your Azarenka style. This is the aggressive baseline. So here, what you want to do is get to the point really quickly. They can't handle much fluff. So no fluff. Show how your ideas are compatible with them. Let them be in charge and get to the point, as I said, really quickly. And finally, the all-court player. What we've got here is the Nadal's type of personality, the more introvert potentially, but deep thinkers. So here, if you want to talk tactics in the hotspot or you're on the change of ends, with this type of personality, you're looking at facts and figures, logic and reason, and ask them how they think not necessarily how they feel. So just quickly again, we've got the consistent player, the relator, the crowd pleaser, the socializer, and then we've got the aggressive baseliner down there, and finally the all-court player. How does that sound? Any questions on that? Do you want to bounce anything off me with regards to that?
Yeah, definitely, Emma. Great stuff here. I just want to clarify for the audience the meanings between like direct versus open, if we could just do that so that they can understand fully. And I'm sure the YouTube video, I think, goes into that, but if you could just explain it here too.
Yeah, for sure. So on the scale here, we've got open, meaning more open with regards to their personality. So just more willing to share, more, the type of people when you walk into a party, they're the ones that will come up and introduce themselves to you potentially, especially this sort of personality. This one will sometimes, but very friendly, very well-liked. Whereas now this one I'm not saying isn't friendly or well-liked, but this is, think about rather than closed, think self-contained. Mm-hmm. So a little bit more introvert potentially, and also more just ready, more will wait potentially again at a party and hold back until somebody comes and approaches them. And again, this is think direct here, being a bit more fast-paced, will just say what they think straight away. And here indirect, think more, will hold their opinion back until asked, or you know, until they've really thought through it, and need a lot of time here to really think about who they're playing, who their opponent is. So you know, not really rushed, and they need logic, facts, figures, reasons. And again, this person here will usually go along, you know, with certain personalities. So for example, great combinations you've got of doubles teams would be this one and this one. Here goes pretty well. Actually, most of them go really well with this type of personality as well. But, you know, they can all work. That's the point. It's just, you know, if you've got also two of the same, if you've got two aggressive baseliners, they're going to be playing fast points. They're going to be wanting to, you know, get to the net straight away if that's their strengths. So hopefully that kind of clarified some of the things. But watch the YouTube clip and it'll go into more detail again. But The most important point, of course, is who is my partner? So, yes, I know I gravitate towards this style because that's why I love to present.
What I guess.
But, yeah, so if this is more me here, who's my partner and how do I adapt who I am? So if I'm always wanting the high five, but I'm playing with my partners more this style, then it's okay for me to maybe take a low five or not. I don't need necessarily that kinesthetic being if I know that I can create that within myself, and if I know that throws my partner off their game. If we have to meet in the hotspot, and if Emma has to give me a high five one more time, I can't play. I don't like playing with her. So rather than thinking I don't like playing with this person or I never play well with that person, often just change your communication in the hotspot, and actually your game styles might really complement each other. There's plenty of successful teams that didn't necessarily get along well off court that were very successful on court.
Very cool. Very helpful. Thanks, Emma.
Pleasure. So moving now into the main part of this presentation, the Australian formation. Now, doing some research, I discovered, and I didn't actually know this until preparing for this presentation, that's what I love about presenting, is that 90% of the population are right-handed. Now, I thought it would be slightly higher than that in tennis. But the reason why I've got AdCourt Australian here is this diagram here is set up for two right-handed players. Or you could have a left-handed service partner, but basically where they love to hit that, as long as they love their backhand poach sort of interception volley. But in the video that I'm about to show, I do show it for left-handers as well. So if you are lefty, don't worry, I'm still looking after you. Now, what you see here, the biggest difference that I want to point out in the diagram first, that we'll see in the video in a moment, is that you serve from more of a singles position. So this might be more of a doubles position, but the first point I want to make is make sure that you stand nice and close to the little T. And it's often called tandem as well because the B, my partner, stands very close to this line here and here. Okay, the reason they can get away with standing here is because there's a returner here. The returner's partner is often standing here, So they can't return this way. It's almost, you'll see, I explain that on the video in a moment. But essentially, this, the benefit of this tactic is as soon as I serve, I shift over here and I'm looking to use my forehand. My forehand's my weapon. So I'm really looking to use that forehand to open up the court in this rally. So my strength there being the forehand and my partner's strength, either forehand volley if they're right-handed or backhand volley if they're left-handed. And when they intersect, we're looking to volley it through that position there into the, what I call the biggest, fattest, chunkiest piece of the court. So that's the positioning that I wanted to just show visually on the diagram first. I serve there and I shift across. The rally becomes this way until I can try and open it up in between the two players there. All right, so let's check out the video. It looks like this.
Emma, let's get into the Aussie formation. You're going to break it down for us, help us understand it at a deeper level.
Absolutely. So roles and responsibilities. So first of all, as the server, what's really important is that I serve from a singles position. So I want to be quite close to the little T here rather than the normal doubles position, okay? The reason being is the tactic in itself, after I serve, I immediately go over to the juice side of the court, remembering I'm a right-hander, remember my forehand's my strength. So straight away, I know where I'm going. There's no confusion on where I'm going. So that's my role.
And you're going to use this, in your case, as a righty in the ad court instead
Correct.
Of the deuce court.
Correct. Because if I played Australian from the juice court, then I would be exposing potentially my area for development.
So what percentage of the time are we serving on the ad court as the righty if you have the big forehand?
Honestly, we use this up to 80% of the time.
Okay.
A lot of people use Aussie just to change it up or just to play it once a set. I can't tell you how many times we use it, and I can't tell you how many times I've helped, especially Aussie girls, improve their ranking by 500 places using this tactic.
So regular in the deuce, Aussie in the ad, if you have the big forehand.
Correct. As much as possible. So that's my role. Then once I'm over here, I'm looking to use my big forehand. I can come in if the ball's short, sure. Mm-hmm. But essentially, I'm looking to set you up. So let's go to your position now. So the first thing that's really important is that my hips are angled towards the returner there. So this is why the cheese stick, just as a guide here, is on an angle, okay? And the wider my base, the more angled I can, the better I'll be able to read the play. Can you show me that? Let me just check your positioning. Can I move you a little bit more from here? A little bit more angled, hips right over. That's fantastic. Now, the other reason why we can have Jeff so close to this middle line here is because, as you can see, with Christy in this position, Tina is unable to return into this space. It's actually impossible, pretty much. So that limits that option. So that's why Jeff can stand here. Now, here's the interesting part. After I serve the ball to Tina, often, especially if the opponent has never played this tactic before, Tina won't be able to help herself. Her first return, get ready like you got a return for us. Okay, your first return, if you've never seen this tactic before, she's generally going to go cross court. And Jeff, you'll be right there, obviously ready to poach that ball into that space there. So that's often what happens. I can't tell you how many times that happens. But normally, I'm going to serve, I'm going to move across. Now, Tina's going to rally down the line because of the setup. We are forcing her to play the hardest shot in the game. So you have to hit line off across. Very, very difficult, not easy. Then, once I can use my forehand to push her back, Christy's already in the position, she runs forward. And Jeff, when you're ready, when you go over and poach, good, he takes it into the gap. Okay, so that gap again, so we'll just do that one more time. Again, when he's gonna move, so I'm gonna use my big forehand to push Tina back. Okay, Christy's already in, and on that second ball, Jeff is looking to, good. And you can see it in between the two players right there. It looks like this, are we ready? All right, that's it. Example number one. See how often the person who's returning serve, they can't help themselves. That was excellent, Jeff. Go straight to you and he's able to find the gap. All right, example number two. Situation number two. I'm using my forehand. All right. Fantastic. Okay, Jeff, so it's really important also that we show what two lefties can do together. So Tina loves her forehand. You said before you love your forehand volley poach. So this is what it looks like for a left-handed combination. And just note, it's on the juice side of the court. It looks like this. Oh, yes. So as you can see, classic example, using her strength, pushing me back, and all of a sudden, Jeff's got the opening into the biggest, what I call the fattest, juiciest piece of the court. That's the best place to hit that volley, because if it goes a little bit one way or the other, you still got to make the ball. And that is the reason why I love Aussie doubles.
So as you can see from the video, it's such a fantastic tactic. And the point that I really want to make, which I want to reinforce in what I said, is that it's amazing how many times the returner still goes cross court. They're so conditioned in doubles to hit that first one cross court. And it, you know, you're right there ready for that volley. The other point I want to make is that, as you just heard me say there, when you poach, when you come across, you're often volleying into the biggest part of the court. So it's very easy if you just hit it late or a little bit early, you're still probably going to make the poach. The other thing that I often get asked is, you know, where should I serve? What direction should I serve with Australian? The answer to that, of course, is first of all, think about balancing your best serve with their weakness. But essentially, body backhand, even from a singles position, that serve will come in at that slightly, that cross court angle. It's hard to go up the line off that backhand. So it's a real advantage serving sort of body backhand on the ag court as a right-hander. Are there any questions?
Yeah, well, maybe comments too, but first off, I love this play. I mean, my forehand is my biggest strength, and so I mean, that's just the perfect setup for me in particular. And I'm definitely going to employ this more, because to set up the forehand, I realize that most of the time I have my partner poach, but I feel like the Australian puts the volleyer at a more comfortable position, you know, they're just set and they don't have to move as much. So if the returner hits really good cross court returns, then it will be less of an issue. You know, if you do the Australian formation. And I one question I want to ask you is, have you ever done a poach off an Australian? So after you've done a bunch of Australian formations on the ad side, if you're a righty, then you have the net person actually cross and try to pick it off. Do you ever do that sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. So that would be what I would call 100%. So we play Aussie, but the like Jeff in this case, who was my partner, he's going to go 100%. So that's what 100% means. And certainly always take into account the score if you are going to do that. It's still a high-risk tactic. But as I mentioned to you, we actually play this tactic 80% of the time. So last year I was the Australian Junior Fed Cup captain, and we weren't even meant to qualify in Malaysia to make it to the Worlds. We ended up winning, and we used Australian formation 80% of the time. So then they were so used to returning down the line, every sort of fourth or fifth point, boom, 100%, and they would pick off the volley. So our doubles was the reason. We won a number of 10-point tiebreaks and a number of sudden-death juices using Australian formation. Like, I just can't tell you how many years I've been using this tactic for. And as you just said, your partner, rather than playing I formation where they're down and then they've got to pop up, you're taking that out of the equation. So you're not even having to worry about the physicality of the pop up and then split to either side. Then there's confusion. It's so simple. It's you start on the same side of the court, and then the back player just moves across. It's a brilliant tactic.
Love that. Thanks, Emma. I really enjoy that play a lot, and it's so effective as you showed. So appreciate that clip.
No worries. And make sure, remember, don't just use it as a change up because the Titanic is sinking. Use it early and especially always think about the score. A lot of people just try it. Maybe they love 40 down, so they give it a go. Oh, that didn't work, and then they never try it again. So always consider when you try it and practice it to the score. As you know from my presentation, the very first year, I'm massive into score line pressure, but when you practice it, practice just that same side over and over again under score line pressure. Now, let's look at lob split the court. So this is so cool because it's again, I've written here the juice court, remember, for right-handed players. So this is me here. Let's pretend this is me, and that's Jeff there as my partner, and we are now returning serve of letter D. So letter D serves to me. My first return is lob, and it lobs down the line. Player C then will run across, of course, and usually they're not used to doing this, so they run all the way across. Normally they're like, let me get out of the way. So they run almost into the tram lines here. Letter D has to run across and play almost, usually if they're a right-hander, they've got to play a high backhand. So we've got two options here. Either that, then off that high backhand, player B, Jeff here, could come across and poach that into that arrow, that open court. Or if they slightly lob it back, I can use, again, my strength, my big forehand, to be able to then split the court between letter D and letter C, who'd be over here. So that's what it looks like visually. So now I'll play the video for you so you can get a sense of what it looks like.
Emma, let's talk about the return side now. And one of your favorite tactics is called lob split the court. Take us into it.
Look, it's one of the most underutilized tactics in the game. And would you believe it's actually Aussie formation flipped in the advantage of the returning team? Pretty cool.
Yeah, so this is cool.
Let me take you through it. So generally speaking, again, once, remember, always start with what are your strengths. So in this case, I love my forehand. You love either one of your volleys, okay? Mm-hmm. So you want to play this on the juice court, generally speaking, with those strengths and me being the right-handed player, okay? All right, so from this position here, when the serve comes in, this player here lobs it down the line, okay? As you see, if I lob it well, it'll be tough for Christy to get back over that backhand side with a great lob. So obviously Christy then would shoot across the court because the lob's gone over. Now, not only that, if it's a right-handed server, they're now scrambling for a high backhand return, which of course then puts us in a great strong position. Again, it looks exactly like Aussie doubles, but for the returning team. Now, Jeff, if we go through your position, so Jeff will start here, of course. As soon as can you jump back over there, Christy? Thank you. So as soon as my lob goes over Christy's head and she scattles across, now Jeff is moving straight in. So remember, traditionally, Jeff would have gone in at an angle, okay? But now the advantage of this tactic, he can just go straight in. And now he's looking. As soon as he sees that high backhand return from the server, what could you do, Jeff? Bang.
Move.
Yep, and then split the court, again, means hitting it between the two players, between the net player and the server, into the biggest, fattest, juiciest part of the court. So lob split the court. It looks like this. Now, we're going to have Tina doing the lob, and I'm going to play the role as the server, because remember, my area for development is my backhand. So with the lob, it's going to expose my running backhand, potentially a high, difficult return. Check it out. Fantastic, team. So that's lob split the court. It's actually, if you think about it, it's Aussie formation flipped to the advantage of the returning team. So just remember, returner's partner, make sure you're running straight rather than the traditional diagonal. The lob, of course, goes over more of that high backhand side. And generally speaking, the person switching across, they're so used to switching all the way across that actually it makes the split the court even bigger and chunkier and juicier. And if you just mishit it, you're still going to hit the court. How cool is that?
That's awesome.
So as you can see, I'm pretty excited about these two tactics. Any questions or comments?
No, I mean, this is another fantastic tactic, of course, strategy. As you mentioned, you know, you're forcing them to hit a backhand in most cases. And I guess one question is, do you have any tips for the lob return? I know maybe some players might think might be a little uncomfortable or wondering, like, what's the best lob to hit? You know, should it be topspin? Should it be a slice? Like, where exactly? So can you give us some tips on that?
Yeah, look, I think when you're starting out, if you're not that comfortable or you haven't utilized this tactic that much, as much as possible, begin with just an open racket face. You know, obviously just increasing that trajectory from a more deeper low to high. But either way, just opening up that racket face and lifting the ball up is a great place to start. Because even if you hit it a little bit low, remember, generally speaking, that person at the net, who was Christy in the video, she's still generally going to have to reach over the backhand side, which is, you know, as we know, probably one of the hardest shots in the game. So just begin with the open racket face and push, start from contact and just push the follow through up, then increase the trajectory of your racket head, starting from more of a deeper, more of a trajectory and make it a bit sharper to lift it up. If that makes sense, I probably should get off my chair and demonstrate that one. So there to there, okay? And then as you become more proficient or, you know, more skilled, if you get a slightly higher serve and you feel you can get under it, then, of course, ripping the topspin lob is certainly something that, you know, that you should experiment and explore. But if you start with a block lob, it's just as effective. It is a little bit harder on the other side, of course, because that is usually, if you've got a right-hander at the net, it is their right-handed smash. And then, of course, the server's running across into their right-handed play or their forehand if that's a strength. So it doesn't work as effectively on the other side. But, you know, again, people still have weaknesses on those sides of their body, so you can still expose that.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah, it's super helpful. Like you said, I mean, worst case, you're usually going to make them hit a high backhand volley, which not many people at the amateur level are going to be able to hit a winner off of that. So probably the person who returned it will be able to track it down, or the net player can track it down, like worst case. But I really love this this play, and I highly encourage people to, you know, when you have your doubles practices, practice the Australian, practice the lob. You know, that's the time to practice these things so that
that's
you
right.
can put them in the matches. Yep.
And with practice, again, which was my presentation 2 years ago, where I would start with is just, you know, just the lob. You've got the feel. Okay, now do the whole pattern, but play just the juice side. Play it over and over and over and over again. And everyone knows that the rally doesn't begin until the serve's gone in the box, my lob's gone down the line, then we compete, and then anyone could do anything. But everybody knows that that's a pattern you're playing over and over again, and then layer in pressure. I'm still not seeing enough players put these tactical and technical scenarios into scoreline pressure. So in the online doubles course, we go over what's called seven up and seven break. So again, it's going through all the seven scenarios where you're up in the game, and you just play that one side from 15 love, 30 love, 40 love, 40 15, add up 40 30 and 30 15. They're the seven score lines just to practice over and over again. And then change sides. So everybody gets to work on it, but practice it over and over again. Does that make sense?
Beautiful. Yeah, definitely.
Great. So if you want to get a deeper dive and have a look into the doubles course that Jeff and I created towards the end of last year, it's tennisevolution.com/Aussie doubles. It's got 6 modules, 30 videos where we cover much deeper into at least 5 videos on team communication, prepare to compete, how to warm up, actually specific to doubles. You know, the first thing we do is rally down the line. Well, of course, you know, the first ball you hit in doubles is generally cross court. Roles and responsibilities of every single position, the Aussie doubles tactics, much deeper dive into what we just went into, and poaching and specialty shots. So we've got the double poach and we've got the diamond poach, the drop volley and the overhead. And then the match analysis, and also there's mixed doubles also in module 6 there, and it's only $97. So feel free to click on the link there and grab yourself, you know, a deeper dive into these strategies. I mean, certainly I work with a number of clients in communication and in, you know, as you know, singles and doubles and corporate clients. But my main mission is connecting girls with sport and unleashing female potential across the globe. And I'm really excited to do that. I just wanted to point out one quick testimonial with the Aussie doubles tactics here. This one here from Lynn, she just said not only – did she have us connecting more between each and every single point, but she showed us the value of really using the Aussie method and taking away their opponent's favorite return. So I really love that from Lynn. And then this is somebody who actually bought the product and used it or taught his junior players or his daughter, I believe, how to use this tactic. But I love this line here. The girls use this formation often and end up dominating and not losing a set in the entire tournament, winning a gold ball. So that was it. Look, that's, you know, to actually have someone purchase the product and then do that, that's pretty cool. And, of course, I give away a free coaching tip every fortnight called Baseline Chat, which anyone's welcome to join. You and I, I'm sure we'll organise a link there for people to sign up for Baseline Chat. And they're my details. I've got an ebook coming out. Sorry, not an ebook. Scratch that. I've got a book coming out called The E Factors, Discovering Your Inner Coach. And that will definitely be out by the end of this year. And I'm really excited about that. The E Factors, of course, are energy, empathy, and enjoyment in everything that I do. And it's a lot on how to bring out the coach that lives within yourself so you can bring out the best version of yourself possible. So a little bit more about me there if anyone wants to read some of my background details and, of course, a bio video that you're welcome to watch at your own leisure. A wrap from me. So just covering what we did: hotspot communication, Aussie doubles formation, and then lob split the court, which is the reverse Aussie tactic. So it's been a pleasure spending my life with you. I really thank everybody for investing their time into the Tennis Summit 2019. It's a great concept, and you know, I love being a part of it. I love what you're about. And thank you so much for this opportunity. Are there any questions?
Yeah, I mean, Emma, I just want to thank you so much for being on the summit. You know, there's a reason why I've had you, you know, all 3 years and Jeff all 3 years. I mean, the main reason is your willingness to participate and support the summit, which I appreciate so much. But it's also because you've done an amazing job, and also Jeff has. And I highly encourage everybody to check out the doubles course as well. It's not just by Emma, but it's also by Jeff. And when you combine two great coaches together, that's definitely something special. So I highly encourage everybody to check it out. And I'll have links below to all of the resources that we mentioned on today's presentation by Emma. So Emma, thanks so much. And it's been a pleasure. And thank you for everything. Yeah.
No. Thank you. And remember, everybody out there, the ball is always in your court.